Father, Father, for you are holy, you are true, and there is none like you. Your presence here is awesome, for you are the way, the truth, the life, the healer, the deliverer, the provider. You are here. You are here with us right now. We thank you, Master. We thank you. We ask for your forgiveness, my Lord. We repent for everything we've done that's offended you. Every dead works of the flesh and selfish ambitions. Every area where we've tried to protect self. We repent and ask for your forgiveness. Please wash us with the blood of the Lamb tonight. Purge us with your presence. Fill us that we may be one. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your presence, your love, break every yoke of bondage. For you are the bondage breaker. Sweet Master. Sweet Master. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive. As we surrender to you our hearts, we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. We sever ourselves from every entanglement in the affairs of this world and every emotional attachment of people, places, and things, that we may be totally yours. Totally yours. Grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we may be about your business. Grant us the heart, mind, will, the desires of Christ, that we may be in your image and likeness, and that we may do those things that please you. And maintain a love affair, not just a relationship, Papa, but a love affair. I'm asking, Dad, that you'll draw us to a place and fill us to where we're totally in love with you. Totally in love with you. And I thank you, Master. So Holy Spirit, teach us, draw us, empower us, and establish us that we may bring glory to the Father in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your night. Hallelujah. And you all look drunk. More. More, 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 more. Thank you, Papa. The word says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, over 16 years ago, I met the truth. I didn't say I heard the truth. I said I met the truth. And one of the realities for me was always that truth was just not something spoken. Truth was a presence, a person. You know, Sunday we talked about a true warrior is one who loves the truth. And then the Lord has not released me from that impartation. You know, when I met the truth, I was so happy that I knew the truth. Not that I knew everything, but I knew him who did know everything. So I didn't have anything to worry about anything. So I was able to talk to him and he talked back. But see, when you're in love with the truth, nothing else matters. See, you love the truth, but there's a place where you're in love with the truth. And when you're in love with the truth, you're free. See, because many people know the truth, practice the truth, declare the truth, but are not free. But when you're in love with the truth, there's a difference. See, you don't try to prove who you are. You know who you are. I don't have to prove to anybody who I am in Christ. And neither do you. If you're in love with the truth. Has everybody got it? See, truth proves you. Come on, these are things from the Spirit. I'm telling you right now, the anointing is so strong. And in this, there is a place where Paul declared, it's no longer I that live, but him that lives. Because he was abiding in the truth. But see, so many people just think that the reading the Bible is the truth. You know, so many people are looking just for a word of truth, but there's a person who is the truth. See, truth is not something that is just in the area of, well, I'm holding this book and that's the truth. Yes, but that's not eternal truth. It's a temporary truth because anything in this realm was going away. But there is a truth that separates you from this world. And in that truth is where you abide, because if you abide in him, you're abiding in his truth. See, not only do you know the truth, but you love the truth because you love him. You know, I was counseling with an individual one day, and I've been counseling off and on with this person for a while. This person was in other fellowships, and once in a while I don't counsel with people in other fellowships because it usually causes strife or division and so forth. But this individual was, every once in a while he'd let me know where he's at, what he's going on and what was happening. And one day when we were discussing something, I began to see something different. I mean, I'd always known it was something was there, but I never put my finger on it. I called it a religious spirit, and I believe it still was a religious spirit, because a religious spirit is very prideful, and it loves knowledge, and it always wants to learn, but it can never come to the knowledge of truth where that person is free. So it has a form of godliness. It likes to proclaim godliness and so forth. And as I was counseling with this individual, justification and reasoning started coming out of the mouth, and I began to step back, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, he's just trying to save his face. I thought, wow, he's trying to save his face. And then he began to proclaim his righteousness. In other words, the things that he's done or what God has done through him. And the Lord said, that's self-righteousness. That's not my righteousness, because my righteousness does not brag. My righteousness is humble, and my righteousness is eternal. And I began to see this person was trying to save his face. And I thought, wow, this is phenomenal. One of the things the Spirit brought to me today about that is because the individual was not in love with truth. See, people can be in love in serving, but they're not in love with him. Truth. And that's what God is separating right now. That's what he's exposing. Those who are in love with him. Those who are in love with truth. See, if you love truth, you don't fall. If you love truth, you don't backslide. If you love truth and you're in love with truth, there's nothing but going forward. Nothing. If you're in love with the truth. And then this God is exposing, and this God is, let me share with you, it separates the goat from the sheep. If you're in love with the truth. See, that's why Jesus said you must leave your mother and father, sister and brothers, your wives, your children to follow me? What did he mean by that? You must be in love with the truth. You must love me more than anything. You must love me more than money, your job, and your life. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. See, God is raising up a faceless generation. Oh, hallelujah. Where it's not about face, not about me, it's not about you, it's about him. In verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4, would you read it with me? For we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit brings what? Brings life. So we know that it's the ministry of the Spirit, isn't it? And the reason why the letter killed is because they didn't, in other words, in this expression, it was a representation. We know that it's Old Testament according to the covenant and commandments and so forth. But the law killed because there was no power to obey it. In other words, it exposed what needed to be done and what was bad or what displeased God. But there was no way, we didn't have the power, they didn't have the power then to obey it. So they had to use animals to sacrifice, didn't they? To cover. But it says, but the Spirit gives power, gives life to obey. Well, what are they obeying? The truth. See, because the Spirit is truth. So it is the ministry of the Spirit. Has everybody got it? So if it's the ministry of the Spirit, it is a ministry of truth. Go to John 14 and we'll come back. So hold your finger here. John 14. In verse 15. John 14:15, is everybody there? Read it with me. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of what? Truth, because it is the ministry of the truth. It is the ministry of the Spirit. But it's not something that is just somebody telling you the truth. It is a person. Is everybody okay? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither what? Sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So we know, we see here that this is the Spirit of truth. Now the world can't see truth because it's eternal. This truth is life. It's life-giving. The world cannot see it. That's why when you try to talk to somebody, you ever talk to somebody and it seems like they got a veil over their face? Hello? Because they cannot see because of a veil that's over them. You know, when you and I were in the world, unsaved, we tried to be what others said we should be. We tried to be what the world said we should be. We tried to please man. We tried all kinds of areas. And there was a struggle in you because you know that there was somebody in you, but there was another face there. Does everybody understand that? And God was waiting to take off your face. Hey, man, does everybody get that? In other words, so that we could be who we really are instead of what we've been cloned to be. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. For the letter kills and the spirit gives life, in verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the what? Face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was what? Passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be much more glorious? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's keep going. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. For their minds were blinded. For until this day, that same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Now you got to understand Christ. Who is Christ? What is Christ? Christ was God Almighty. Christ was what they called the Son of God, because God took him, a part of himself, who was in his bosom, pulled him out, called him Son, sent him into the earth, to the natural realm. But he came into the natural realm with the fullness of God, who is God, not only expressed God, but was the extension of God, with all eternity. Does everybody get it? Christ, with all eternity, all truth, all love, and all power that holds all things together, came into the natural realm, known as the Christ. And we know that the word Christ means anointing. So he was the eternal presence of God that carried everything. Everybody got it? He was the eternal presence of God that carried everything. Let's go a little further. Is everybody okay? In verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the what? The Lord is the what? Now, wait a minute. We just talked about the spirit of what? Truth. So I want you to understand that the spirit of the Lord is not just the spirit of the Lord. He is the eternal presence of all God that carries everything and all truth. Now, the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transferred into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, with an unveiled face. Why? Because Christ, in this arena, has removed it. Has everybody got it? Now, the veil is a representation of the old, the cloned by darkness to portray self. That was you, the old. Everybody got, the veil is taken away in Christ so that his face can now shine upon you. Did you ever notice that the Bible says, seek my face? Why? So that you can exchange. See, no longer do we need to have a veil over us as proclaiming to be somebody that we're not. No longer do we have that arena where we are cloned as an offspring of darkness with that veiled face. That veil is taken away and maintained away by loving the truth and being in love with the truth. But that veil will come back when you lose your first love. Unveiled faces. Why? Because God is raising up a faceless generation, an end time generation that is not concerned about self anymore. Its only purpose is their love for him, because they love the truth. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Would you read it with me? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the what? Now, according to the flesh means somebody with a veil on. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him what? Thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, why are things happening in individuals' lives that are not coming new, constantly going old, same old thing? Because they're not in love with truth. Has everybody got it? I'm telling you, I can't express enough. And I know we talked about this already. But for 16 years, I could not understand why people kept going astray. And the Lord said to me, because they are not in love with truth. They proclaim the truth. They want to use the truth. But they're not in love with it. See, because when you're in love with something, you'll die for it. Is everybody okay? In verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what's the word of reconciliation? You're being reconciled into his image and likeness. Has everybody got it? Why? Because that veil is being moved. The old clone, the old man is removed by the living in Christ. The carrying the word of reconciliation or carrying the truth because you are in love with the truth. You are now a truth carrier. But not only a carrier, you are an expression of truth. You are a living truth. Has everybody got it? Again, I want to share with you that it wasn't the truth that set me free. It was the love of the truth that set me free. Does everybody got it? It was the love of the truth. When I fell in love with the truth, it set me free. See, this truth is eternal. This world can't see the truth because there's a veil. They cannot see the truth. There are many believers who still cannot see the truth because they're not in love with the truth. They only want to use the truth for their prosperity. Listen, even unbelievers use the truth and prosper. But it doesn't mean they're in love with the truth. They love the truth because it brings them cashola. Hello. But when you're in love with the truth, you are free and you no longer have a life. Your life is his. Has everybody got it? Oh, turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. So not only do we look at the word Christ as the anointed one and his anointing, as the eternal presence, the eternal truth, the eternal power, but all eternity right there came into the natural realm, and the eternal truth of everything that he carries is right there. So when we see this verse 1 in Romans 8, it says, therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what? According to the Spirit. Why? Because if you walk according to the flesh, guess what's there? The veil. You're faced again. And you're fighting to save your face instead of allowing it to be removed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. Why? Because I'm in love with the truth. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of a sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned it in the flesh. That the what? Righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So if you're walking according to the Spirit, you're in love with the truth. In verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Wow. So whatever you're setting your mind to, in other words, what you're in love with. If you're in love with the world, you're in love with the flesh. The veil is there. You're still trying to save your face. You'll justify, reason, promote, even lie to protect yourself. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the things of the flesh are what you see or what the world sees. Are you listening? In other words, now you're seeing according to what the world sees. Has everybody got it? But the things of the Spirit is what the world can't see, because it is truth. See, the world can't see the truth, but you can. If you're in love with the truth, you can see the truth. That's why somebody can stand before you and proclaim all kinds of things and say all kinds of things, what God has done for them, this, that, what God has used them, and all kinds of stuff. And you know, you can see that veil still there on that person. Because they're not in love with the truth. They're still in love with themselves. Oh, yeah. Still in love with themselves. Still trying to be heard by everybody else. Still trying to promote self. Because they're more in love with themselves, because the veil is still there. Has everybody got it? And I mean, this is important right now, because this is what God has given us in Revelation, and a tactic of the enemy to expose, but so that the anointing can destroy. If you're not in love with the truth, you better start asking God to get you in love with the truth. Why? Because then you still have a veiled face. And we're to be unveiled. We're to be faceless. The only face that should be upon us is Christ. Go to Luke 4. The world cannot see the truth. He's the Spirit of truth, right? Luke chapter 4. Verse 16. Luke 4:16. It says, and Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as it was his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he said these words, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The what? Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, the eternal presence of God who carried all truth, all power, all love, was upon him because he anointed me. To what? Preach the gospel to the poor, or the truth to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Why? Because truth heals. To proclaim liberty to the captives. In other words, freedom to the bound. Recovery of sight to the blind. In other words, to remove the veil. And to set liberty those who are oppressed, because the devil oppresses individuals. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Why? Because it was the first thing after he came out of the wilderness is what he preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, the Spirit of truth. He was saying to them, I am the truth. So I want you to understand that when you fall in love with the truth, you fall in love with a person. It's not just the Bible. See, too many people are in love with the Bible instead of the person. And that prevents them from having a love affair. Does everybody got it? See, when you have a love affair, you're in love with the person. This can begin a relationship, but it's not a love affair. This starts a relationship. The word should always bring you to God's presence. But if you're truly in love with him, you go to him first. Then God brings you to his word. Go to 1 John chapter 2. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He was anointed with power, truth, and life. 1 John chapter 2. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Unveiled faces. That's tonight's teaching. Glory. In verse 15, is everybody there? What does it say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, he's an idiot. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if you're in love with the world, there's no way you can be in love with the truth. The only thing you'll do is use the truth to try and bring you prosperity or freedom. But it won't be fully free. You'll still have management going on there. Has everybody got it? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. And the world is what? Passing away. So this whole place is temporary, isn't it? And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So if you're doing the will of God, are you in love with the truth? I hope so. Little children, is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us. Why did they go out from us? Because they didn't love the truth. See, individuals who are not in love with the truth are always anxious. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be what? Made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you what? Know all things. Why? Because you're in love with the truth. It's amazing if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God, then you should know all things. This is where God says, if you're in love with the truth, you'll know all things. See, knowing all things doesn't mean you're going to know it instantaneously. Knowing all things means you're going to wait for it. I have not written to you because you do not know the what? Truth. But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar that he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What did they hear from the beginning? The truth. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Why? Because truth is eternal. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you, trick you, sway you. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So he calls the anointing him. Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth. That's why if you're not in love with truth, you're not in love with him. And the only thing you're going to want to do is use him to get what you want. Hello? See, the world is passing away, isn't it? That means temporary, relying on sight. The anointing, or the spirit we call the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of Christ, he's the Spirit of the Lord, allows you to see truth that the world cannot see, because truth is eternal. It is life. It is light. And it is God. John 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. in verse 60. If you're in this room tonight, it's because God sent you to get it. And don't tell me you already got it. To get more in love. See, falling in love with the truth is not just a one-time event. It's continuous. Your love should grow and grow and grow and grow. And verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So they heard something they couldn't get, right? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples, what'd they do? Complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? You know how many times, because people are not in love with the truth, they're easily offended. People who are not in love with the truth are easily offended. Very easily offended. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives what? Life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are what? Life. Why? Because truth is life. And I'm not talking about life here. I'm talking about eternal life. Life. Life that is forever. That's truth. See, you're not dealing in an arena now where you're just hearing the truth and you go, oh, I got the truth. Yeah, I'm free. I get it all the time. I'm free. I know the truth. You're an idiot. And you got a veil over your face and you need to repent because you're stinking pride. See, where there's true love of truth, there is no pride. Where there's true love of truth, there's no rebellion. Hello. Where there's somebody who's really in love with truth, they're not looking at the temporary. They're always looking at the eternal. Why? Because they can see the truth everywhere. Anybody ever see the movie Matrix? You know where you see all the lines going down, man, all the binary codes and everything? You're holding everything up. In other words, what you're looking at right now, you should be able to see in the arena, if you're in love with the truth, that this is all temporary. I'm telling you, there'll be sometimes I'm leaning on something, I'm thinking, oh my God, this thing's going to disappear any minute. And I'm going to fall. There'll be times all of a sudden that thought will come to me, I'll take my hand right off of it. Why? Because I'm not leaning on anything temporary. We're to be leaning on eternal. The truth. Eternal truth. Oh, glory. Let's keep going on this. This is good. In verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would what? Let me tell you, if you're not in love with the truth, you will betray him. You can't help it. What do you mean? You'll break covenant with him. You'll backslide. That's betrayal. Jesus said, come follow me. If you're not following him and going another direction, you're betraying him. You're actually denying him. Think about this. When Peter denied Jesus three times, remember he said, the rooster's going to crow and you're going to deny me three times, because he was all boastful. Yeah, man, I'll come back, man. Anybody, nobody going to get to you but through me. Lord, I'm not going to leave you. He was one of the first ones a boogie. Because he didn't have the spirit. He had no power. He still had the veil. He was in the flesh. And when the Lord rose from the dead, told Mary, grab everybody. He was going to Galilee. You'd meet everybody there and make sure you get Peter. Because he knew Peter wept bitterly. He knew he didn't want to deny him, but he did. And he denied him three times. And Peter was hanging out in the room and he got him. And Jesus shows up and everybody freaks out. And he says to Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. He looks at him. You love me, huh? Feed my sheep. Turns around and he turns at him again. He says, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. And he goes back again. He says, Peter, Do you love me? In other words, do you love the truth? Feed my sheep. So he had to cover all three places where he denied him. Do you love me now? What was he saying? Feed my sheep. What's he going to feed his sheep with? The truth. The truth. Do you love me? I'm telling you that if you're not in love with the truth, you will betray him. That's why the Bible says many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why would they be deceived? There is no reason for us to be deceived if you're in love with the truth, because truth will always outweigh deception. That's why the Lord says, my people must fall in love with the truth. That must be priority. That is your life now, to fall in love with the truth. And by falling in love with the truth, you're falling in love with him. He is the spirit of truth. You know, the reason why people will betray the Lord is because they will get deceived and they do not want to lose face. The enemy will try to put the face back on. Go to John chapter 1. That's why we're to be fighting for the life of Christ, because of we're in love with the truth, not our life. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now is the Word the truth? Yeah. So we know the truth was always with God. He is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was what? Life, and the life was the light of men. So we know that truth is life and light. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness cannot comprehend it. So when there's a problem of non-comprehension all the time, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, it's because there's a veil there. But I'm telling you, if you're in love with the truth, you'll always know the truth. He'll always lead you to the truth. You'll walk. You won't be deceived anymore. You'll know that you might not understand what's going on, but it won't deceive you. You got it. It won't move you out of position. You won't be offended. Because you know that eventually he's going to tell you what to do or what the truth is about it. And that's where you must learn how to wait. Because if you're in love with the truth, you'll wait. You won't move without it. Is everybody okay? Go to John 4, same chapter, verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh. Remember, we talked about that already. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and what? Truth, because he was grace and he was truth. The fullness of it. The eternal. Is everybody okay? Oh. In other words, Jesus was the complete package. He was the complete package of everything. See, when he died for me and you on the cross, he sent his spirit to us. It was available for everyone. That's why he commanded his disciples to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? So that they would know the truth, that they would fall in love with the truth, and the veil would come off. In other words, there would be no longer fighting for their face. They'd be fighting for the life of Christ. James 1. James chapter 1. In verse 16, what does it say? Do not be what? Deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Who is the word of truth? Christ. That we might be a kind of what? First fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or react. For the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the truth, or the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his what? Natural face in the mirror. Now, does everybody see this? Why? Because he's looking at the old again. So if you say that you're a doer, if you know the word and you say that you're a doer, but you're really not a doer. Hello? Or if you're doing, but you're not in love with the truth, the natural man is still there. Does everybody understand that? In other words, we need to go a little bit deeper in this arena. Because you know many people that are out there still proclaiming Christ, saying they love Christ, teaching Christ, but they're not in love with Christ. They're not in love with the truth. And that's why they are not completely free. Let's go a little further. In verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, in what? Continues in it. And is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, he'll be joyful no matter what's going on. Did you ever get around a miserable believer? You know why? They don't love the truth. They're not in love with truth. Because if you're in love with truth, the anointing breaks every yoke. That's why the Bible says he who knows the truth is free, but it's really not he who knows the truth. It's he who's in love with the truth will be free. And some people still want to save face. They're not willing to give up the clone. They want to hold on to it. I'm telling you, they fight for it. They haven't totally surrendered it. They're still anxious, worrying about this, worrying about that. That's not loving the truth. That's not being in love with the truth. There is total freedom when you are in love with the truth. Total freedom. You're no longer managing. You are totally free. In other words, you can totally trust that God can provide whatever it is. You can totally trust in every area, no matter what it is. Why? Because you are in love with the truth. Now, if you're in love with the truth, because you're in love with Him, and He's God, hello? What can He do? Hello? What can He do for you that you think you can do better? Hello? I remember one day I was sitting on the couch and I was frustrated about something, and the Lord showed up in spirit and He sat there and He looked at me and said, "Guy, what can you do that I can't?" I said, "You got it." He said, "If you walk right with me and you stay in love with me, your problems, your mistakes are my problems." See, so didn't say I'd be perfect. So when a mistake is made, I give it to Him. He fixes it. It's like having a real big brother, you know. You know, man, you want to mess with me? You mess with him. See, but when you're in love with the truth, you're free. So you make a mistake. You're not bound up and miserable for 60 days. Spirit of oppression isn't riding you like a horse and using you for transportation. I'm telling you, those demons use people like they're waiting at a bus stop. And they got tickets. Oppression. It's me. That's the bus. Fear. Oh, yeah, there's another one. Anxiety. Woe is me. And they got all these faces plastered on the windows of the bus, you know. Trying to save face. Justification. Reasoning. Is everybody okay? But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now listen, being blessed in what he does just doesn't mean you're going to pile up materialism. It doesn't have nothing to do with finances either. It means that you're going to be blessed in whatever you do. In other words, you're going to be, hallelujah, I'm going to be joyful. Everybody, I'm not looking what I can get out of it. I'm doing it because I'm in love with him and because I know it pleases him, so I'm blessed. Then he'll make way for whatever. Is everybody okay? Ooh. Brought forth by the word of truth, a hearer and not a doer, the veil still remains. People still trying to save face. Go to James 4. James 4. Verse 6. But he gives more grace, therefore he says what? God resists the proud. Now the pride or the proudful one cannot, isn't in love with the truth. The only time they love the truth is when God gives them something. But when they don't get what they want, oh, look out. Human flesh wrath. But gives grace to the humble. That's one who loves him, who's truly in love with the truth. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now look at this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. Let me share something with you. An individual that is truly not in love with the truth is double-minded. They are flippy. One day they're with you, the next day they're against you. One day they're fine, the next day they're off the wall. One day they're joyful, the next day they're miserable. Why? Because things aren't going according to the way they want it. Then it's the woe is me. I call it the baby Huey syndrome. Why? Because you must be in love with the truth. If you're in love with the truth, nothing else matters. Oh, hallelujah. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Pride does not love truth. Humble loves truth. Those that don't love or are in love with the truth are double-minded. Or they're still veiled. They still have a veiled face. They are users of the truth, practicers of the truth, and proclaimers of the truth, but don't love the truth. Those that love the truth are used by the truth. Are you listening? Those that are in love with the truth are used by the truth. Those that are not in love with the truth use the truth. See, the truth will use you. You won't use it if you're in love with the truth. The world uses the truth again, and they get wealth. But they can't see the truth. They think it's them that gets it all, but they're just using truth, aren't they? They're using basic principles of truth to get wealth. And they get it, and they give, but the world says, oh, look what I did. No, they just used the principles of truth. But they can't see it. The lover of truth sees the truth and is used by the truth. Matthew 27. In verse 50. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Now Jesus was on the cross. The Christ, the eternal presence. The eternal truth, the eternal love, the eternal power kind of came off the cross and beat everybody up with the cross if he wanted to. But he hung on a cross. And it says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then behold, the what? Veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and rocks split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. The veil was ripped in the temple. Jesus took the clone of the serpent on the cross that covered the people, or what we call the veil, and ripped it off to those who would love the truth and be in love with him, because he is the truth. Understand that the ripping of the veil was more than just God coming to be with us. So when you understand it, he was unveiling. He was removing, unveiling the face. So everybody got it. The clone face. In other words, it was available for everyone now that was willing to fall in love with the truth and follow him. So everybody got that. Go to John 14 for a minute. John 14. It's almost like when that veil was ripped, it's like, when that came to me today, it was like, just ripped off the old face, you know. In John 14 and verse 6, would you read it with me? Is everybody there? What did Jesus say? I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for through the Son. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have what? Seen him. So what he was saying, listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is the outer court. The truth is the holy place. The life is the Holy of Holies. That is the tabernacle of God. When Jesus died on the cross in the temple, that veil ripped. Does everybody understand it? So that we become unveiled. Hello? Now, in this, I want you to look at something very powerful, because go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. In verse 11. Revelation 12 and verse 11. So the way was the cross. In other words, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way was a representation of the cross and the blood, the sacrifice. Has everybody got it? The truth was a representation that his fight was against the powers of darkness, and he had to descend, isn't it? And the life was known as the Spirit of Life, which was the Holy of Holies. Those were the three chambers of the tabernacle. And in verse 11 it says, and they overcame him, the devil, by the what? The blood of the Lamb, which is the way, the outer court. By the word of their testimony, which was the truth, by, hello? That's the holy place. And they did not love their lives to what? Death. In other words, there was an exchange of life. That's the most holy place. So, what happened was, they became the truth. Has everybody got it? Not only were they in love with the truth, but they became the truth. Why? The Bible says that you are now the tabernacle. You are now the temple. Are you listening? And what we don't want to do is defile any one of the courts. Those who are led by the Spirit, their flesh is crucified. They are known as sons and daughters of God. That's why he said, be not filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So in this, that you and I become the tabernacle of God. We become the temple of God. We are now the walking, living truth. We are our eternal beings walking in the eternal, in love with the truth. It is no longer we that live, but him that lives. So now you're able to see eternal things. You're not just looking at the things temporary. The world cannot see eternal truth. It's impossible. The veil lies there. And again, too many believers still have the veil there. They believe. They say they believe, but they're not in love with the truth. That's when you're free. When you're in love with the truth, by his stripes, you're healed. Hello. When you're in love with the truth, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you're in love with the truth, Old things have passed away and all things have become new. When you're in love with the truth, you truly are a new creation. And you are free. You're no longer managing anything. You're totally trusting, totally surrendered, the brand new life. Revelation chapter 2, while we're here. Revelation 2. And they overcame. Actually, what they were overcoming the devil, right? It says they overcame the devil. But you're overcoming self. Because self is still the cloned. Remember, Jesus died on the cross. Why? Because he took everybody's clone. He took everybody's sin on the cross. He became the serpent. So he took everybody's veil. And on the cross, it was ripped in the temple to show that anybody who was willing to fall in love with him can be unveiled. And their face of Christ would shine upon them. And they would no longer be concerned about saving their face. They'd be a faceless generation willing to serve God in true spirit and in power. Not serving him just to serve, but in love with the truth. Totally in love with the truth. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, and the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labor for my name's sake and have not become weary. That sounds like a good church. Nevertheless, this I have against you, that you have left your first love, that truth that began to stir in you, that truth that began to set you free, that truth that drew you to him, that truth, that revelation, that light, that something that of truth that began to touch you and change you. You've lost it. That's what he was telling them. You've put other things. You've not fallen in love with the truth. You've walked away from falling in love with me. Yes, you proclaim the truth. You practice the truth. You decree the truth. You tell the truth. But you don't love the truth. That's losing your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise of God. And I want to close in Jude. Maybe I'll close there. Jude 17. Is everybody there? Verse 17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause what? Divisions, not having the Spirit or not in love with the truth. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but on others kicking the butt. Save with fear, pulling them by their hair, pulling them out of a fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. And one more scripture, Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3:14. Would you read it with me? Glory. It says, for what? This reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his spirit in the what? Inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, fully in love with the truth. Remember, the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. The world walks by sight. Those who are not in love with the truth are walking still by temporary sight. Temporary sight. They're trusting in all temporary things. Has everybody got it? They're trusting in who they know, their bank account, all of these other things that are tangible. But I'm telling you, when you're in love with the truth, you can see eternal. Has everybody got it? Because you're in love with him. And when you're in love with him, you have everything. Discipline will lead to a relationship, which will lead to a love affair. Fall in love with the truth and never let him go, because truth is eternal. He is a person. He's called Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. In any area, Lord, where we have fallen short from being in love with you, the truth. Any area where we've put back on the veil over our faces and gone the wrong way, the old man, we ask that you would unveil us and cause us to fall in love with the truth, Lord. And that we may be totally in love with you, sold out, totally trusted. A place where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. With unveiled face, only to have the face of Christ shine upon us. That we may give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Be blessed.